Well, good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. I find it a privilege to be here, and when Junior shared his prayer request, he said something, and it struck me a little bit this morning. It's been at least 2 years since I was here because we were in Africa for 2 years. We did come back for a funeral, but coming back after 2 years, things change. We're getting older, and he said. A while back, an elderly man visited, and I automatically said, well, that wasn't me. And then I was thinking about it. I'm getting a little bit that way, ain't I? 2 years is a while, and a lot of things have changed, and I've seen, especially the young people, have changed so much in those 2 years. My son, Colton, our oldest, is as tall as me, or real close, and it's hard to believe. But I saw him grow during the 2 years. But coming back to our church, all these young men that were small when we left, they're not so small anymore. And time is moving on. And I was thinking about that, what am I doing with my time? Am I using it for God? And I've been challenged by the things we've heard already today. And I don't know, do the women study the same thing as the men? They do, okay. We were talking about Timothy and what Paul was trying to teach Timothy. And those things were a challenge to me this morning. The three things that were brought to us, if I can find it here, in verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. And we didn't discuss this much, but it says, now the end of the commandment is charity. I'm not sure what exactly he's saying, but it almost seems like the phrase, it boils down to this. This is what is important. Charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. We can make all the noise we want. We can jingle our keys, jangle. How does it say jangle? Our keys or make all kind of noise. And I could be up here today and I could make a lot of noise. But if we're here today and we don't get anything from it, if I'm just up here making noise just to fill the time, to be here with you this morning and have a good time, is it worth anything? Or are we here to be encouraged to draw close to God with faith unfeigned? And when I saw that phrase in being in Africa for 2 years, faith unfeigned means a lot more to me. In dealing with a culture of honor versus shame, they are very willing to say what I want them to say. Whether they believe it, whether they follow it or not, they do not want to bring shame to their name. They do not want to disappoint me. So they tell me what I want to hear, basically. And that's not true of everyone, but I'm just in general. So faith unfeigned means a lot. We can talk a lot of big words. We can say all the good things. But if we're not living it out in our life, if our faith is not for real, it will show up. And all of a sudden, all the big words we said just are a lot of noise. They just lose their value because of the way we're living. That too big? I guess the pictures won't be that big, but anyway. So, oops, I didn't know that was going to show up. Our time in Africa, I've struggled with knowing how to narrow this down today and how to, I want to encourage you here. I am not here to say that we all need to go to Africa. I'm not here to say that you're not doing a good job here. I'm not trying to bring glory to our family for going to Africa in any way. It is interesting to see a different culture, to see the way people operate in churches in other areas, and I understand that. I want to bring glory to God for any good that is happening in Africa there through us. It is not because I am so much different than you or any such thing. I want to read a scripture in Luke chapter 4 before we begin looking at pictures. The scripture that Jesus read when he came to the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" These are not words about Rodney. These are words of Jesus. And it is a challenge for me to make sure that I am bringing Jesus there, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the gospel of the U.S. or whatever, the traditions and things that we do. It's a bit of a struggle sometimes. And I get the picture in my mind of a ship, of a person that went overboard. You throw them a life ring, and they won't grab it. We'll say Jesus is that life ring. He's there. He's ready to save you. But it takes effort on your part to grab that life ring. Sometimes what we do, we come out with a lasso. We see them out there, and we throw a lasso around their neck, and we drag them in. And then when we think, oh, they're finally here, they're safe, they're spiritually dead. Because we haven't taught them the right thing, we've just drug them along, and they don't really understand what's happening. They haven't really changed. And so it's for me to preach the word of Jesus to the people, to bring salvation to them through Jesus Christ, not through the beachy church, not through your church, not through how we live life here in the U.S., whatever it might be, but through the word of God. And so as we go through this, keep that in mind. This is our vision. This is our goal here in Africa, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I trust that as we look at this, you won't say that the pictures are a lot from Africa, but we can go to our next door neighbor and take a picture. And I thought of giving you a challenge to just go out next week and map your mission field, and come with a presentation next Sunday on your mission field. It'd be kind of interesting to see what would happen with that. But your mission field is here as well, and mine too, wherever I go. As I have Jesus, I want to share him. And as we look at these pictures, remember, it's not because I am there that Jesus is there. It's because the goodness and grace of God that is extended to the people all around the world and here in New Holland as well. So I'll just give a little bit of an overview of the mission itself. There's so many things I could cover today. We have the mission board and those type of things. We have our family and our compound life. We have our churches there. We have the traditions, the things in Africa that we could cover. There's a number of things we could cover. So I want to, as we go through this, I want to know what you want to know and try to give you some answers if you have questions. Please raise your hand. Just shout out, whatever. I'm used to Kenya. Shout it out. It's not a problem at all. We're not very formal. So... And also, I have not spoken much without a translator in the last 2 years, so forgive me if I talk in little starts and stops and those things, because I'm used to having to say little phrases and wait till they're done and then say another phrase. And so it kind of changes my habits of speaking, I think. So I hope if it gets that way, just bear with me. And another thing that often happens when we're talking over there, we say, so in the Luo language, we say Paki Yesu, which is praise the Lord. And they use it as just randomly during the service. And when you say it, everyone says amen. It kind of keeps people awake, and yeah, and they tend to be a little more charismatic than we are. Sometimes we could wake up a little bit, I think. Some of our churches, we can be about as charismatic as a brick wall or something. But it's not bad to be excited about what Christ has done for us. It's not. And so if I say Paki Yesu, you can just say amen, and we'll move on. So the mission started in 1993, that they first were in Kenya. But it started by sending, I think it was, I should have brushed up on all my history there, but they sent an ad in the newspaper over there for Lamp and Light courses, which is Bible courses. You study the books that go with a book in the Bible. And they're free courses. They send the books, and then you send it back, and they grade the tests. You send it back, and they do the next section, those type of things. That's how it started. There was two or three contacts, and some men went over there and met with them, and that's how the mission got started. Then they sent missionaries, established a base there, and they were in Nakuru first. So when I'm talking about Kenya, there's two... AMA has two places there in Kenya. Nakuru is where they started. Kisumu is the newer place, but it is growing a little bit faster than Nakuru. We are based in Kisumu, which is right next to Lake Victoria, and I'll have some pictures of that. But the vision of the mission there is, and it has changed, we were very... having to change how we do things as time goes on because of the way people are changing and growing spiritually and that type of thing. Originally, they started church. The missionaries were the leaders of the churches, and they helped disciple people. The churches grew. What we want to do is start a church, establish a church, get it operating, and put leaders in place where we as missionaries can move to the next area. And so that is what we're trying to do. Sometimes it feels like it's moving so slow. And for on my time frame it is, but on God's time frame, we leave that to Him. When you think of how long it is since 1993, it's been a while. But we do currently. We have 17 churches there in Kenya. And I should have done a little more research because I don't know the exact number of which ones are just completely national. I don't know the number of that. But anyway, there's quite a few of them. We have national pastors in every church. 2 weeks ago, there was an ordination in one of the churches that didn't have a national pastor, and they commissioned two brothers at the same time. So that is a very exciting for us when we are ordaining national brothers to take leadership, and there is such a blessing in having people that understand the culture and knowing what people are thinking way better than we do that are leading. We have three national bishops. Trying to think how to describe this. So in Kisumu side, we have three national bishops. I'm bishop of four churches. There's between the three of them, the national bishops, there's five churches. And then there's another brother there that has four churches as well. We have 11 churches. Now, wait a minute. Something don't add up. The last one has three, sorry. We have 12 churches, if I can get that right. 12 churches on Kisumu side, 5 on Nakuru side. And we'll see if I can show that a little bit. I don't know, can you see that well? I don't know how to. I'm very untech savvy. I don't know what that word is either, but anyway. This is Africa, and you can see where Kenya is, and that huge symbol there covers up our home. Kenya borders Ethiopia, Somalia, and Tanzania, and Uganda. And for those of you keeping up with the news, that Ebola or whatever that, I don't even know how to say that, is there in Uganda. And one of my churches is near that border. So it's, I'm not real concerned about that. I'm more concerned about the government overreacting and that type of thing there. That's kind of a little bit of a concern right now. So that's where we're at in Africa. Why is it doing this? Okay, that's why it was zoomed in. There's Kenya. And Kenya, I think, is about the size of Texas. I should have looked at the population. I'm not sure, but it's very well populated. We are right here. You can see where Lake Victoria is there. We are right there next to the lake. And that red line there is the equator. And so I was sharing with some people from home here that we go across the equator to church. From Kisumu there, we go across the equator to church. And he was telling me, oh, well, now he has no excuse not to go to church if Rodney goes across the equator to church. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It's all it is a drive to church to us. We don't jump across a wall or anything like that. But we do cross the equator going to church most times. Here is a more zoomed up picture of Kisumu area. So, okay. Yeah, that'll work. So this is the city of Kisumu right here. Our home is close to that blue dot. All of these other dots up here are the churches. Now this church here is Ugunja, which is close to the Uganda border. And this over here is Nakungaru. That is approximately about a 2.5 hour drive between those two. So Kisumu is kind of central there. I have those three churches on the western side there, and one church over here. The rest of these are other mission pastors or the national bishops. This is just kind of a, I don't know what you call it, a cove of a small part of Lake Victoria. And it is actually quite large. It's a huge body of water that little piece you're seeing there. When we go out there, you can see across, but it's a lot of water there. And in that water, there is crocodiles, hippos, and all kind of nasty wildlife. We have, in Kisumu there, we have a park that we go there along the lake sometimes to spend the evening or whatever, and the hippos come up out of the water. They spend all the day in the water, and they come out at night. And it's not wise to get between them and the water because that is a threat to them, and they don't appreciate threats, and they want to take care of that. So that gives you a little bit of the geography. This is the three churches on the west again. This is a little closer into Kisumu. We actually have a decent airport. We have to fly from Nairobi to here. We can't fly direct to Kisumu, but we can fly into here from Nairobi, which is about an hour flight. This here this area here, it's not very clear on this picture, but this is mostly slums. And it is just a twisted, jumbled mess of streets and shacks and it's kind of a, you wouldn't want to be down there in the dark. We're okay going down there during the day, but it's not a real godly area, I would say. We live right there, just like a block up from the street that kind of separates it. And it almost, we live in Millimani. And years ago, Millimani, they weren't even, the nationals weren't even allowed to walk through there. The British had colonized Kenya, and I guess that was their section. And it almost, I feel bad living there. It has lost it's not quite as exclusive as it was. It's not at all, really, as far as they travel through there all the time. But it still has that, you live in Millimani. And when we say we live in Millimani, you know, it's can kind of have the stigma that goes with it. So I want to, along with that, talk a little bit about how they see us. So when we go over there, any white person automatically is just loaded. I mean, your pockets are full, you're ready to hand it out. That's how they view white people. And it probably comes from the British being there. They were wealthy people. And so when we go out in the streets, they're friendly, they're very nice. They often in a kind of a joking way, they will say, "Musungu, we want something small." They're asking for a little bit of money or whatever. Musungu would be a white man. That's Swahili for a white man. Our area, let me go back a little bit. This area kind of on the picture, not really. Let me see if I can kind of draw it out. Along this line here, this area around the lake is Luo. The tribal language is Luo, the people are Luo, and they're very friendly, kind of well-mannered. They're taught English in school. They mostly can, the young people at least can talk English. The older people, it's hard to converse with in English. They don't know English very well. A lot of that is because education, they didn't have education. The next, there's tribes all around, different. There's Luhya, there's Kikuyu, there's many tribes around there. They all have their own language. The national language is Swahili, but language becomes very difficult. And it is a blessing. We came here today, and I could understand what y'all were saying. It's just a blessing to just be able to communicate and understand each other. There, we've had where, you know, if we're preaching, maybe we'll preach in English. There's someone translating to Luhya or Kikuyu or Luo, and then another person translating to Swahili. It can be very confusing. Because there's so many different languages. But our area is generally Luo. We study Luo. I don't know it. I studied it a little bit, but I can follow along a little bit, but I don't talk it very well. If they're talking about something, I can sometimes understand what they're talking about, but if I had to say it myself, I wouldn't know how to say it. So that's kind of where we're at with the language. Most times when I go visiting and doing my work, I have a national pastor with me that translates, or if it's older people anyway. Younger people I can usually communicate with very well. Okay, so this is Kisumu. Now we're zoomed in on our compound here. This is... wrong button. This is the paved road. This is our way in. There is a big gate right here that blocks. We have a gateman that sits there all day, or supposed to, and opens the gate when we drive up. These houses are all part of the Old Kenya Breweries compound, along this lane here. We have seven of them, and there's 13 in total. The end down here is a school. There is the end on this end is just blocked off. There's no entrance there. There's a gate, but we don't use it. I think I have this one. This here is a school that is accessed from the outside, so it's not really part of the compound. These blue spots on these houses, I don't know if they're showing up for you, those are the mission houses. The others are nationals that live there. And I don't know what the acreage is here, but it's pretty good size. This is our home right here. We live in this corner. We have the biggest yard, I think, of just about everyone. There's a pretty good yard here, but down here there's a pavilion where we have our meetings and stuff. It takes up quite a bit of room. This here, over here, is a big, I don't know, 4 or 5 story hotel. They can kind of spy on us over here. We have good trees there that kind of block the view, but we are right in the middle of town. Now I'll back up so you can see a little more. So our compound, where am I at? Right here. I don't like the big symbol that covers everything up, but that's where we're at. And this is kind of downtown. All of this is busy. There's the street outside of our home is very busy with tuk-tuks and motorbikes and all kind of things going by all the time. So that's kind of where we live. This is a video of driving in on that driveway I showed you. So that pavilion I was talking about is right here on the right inside that hedge. And there's a hotel over here. These are apartments here. And here's the gate to our compound. And they're supposed to be sitting there. When you drive up, they swing it open for us. We are non-resistant. We don't ask them to carry any sticks or guns or anything. But we do like to have a gate there to keep people out if they don't have to be in there. So this is the compound over there, turning to the right. That is our home there on the left. This is inside our house. This is the living room. And this is Brother Naaman. We would call him Naaman, but there he's Naaman. We were planning his wedding, which is a very exciting thing. He was getting married to a girl from Christian Believers Fellowship. I didn't mention that. Christian Believers Fellowship is the name of our churches. All of the churches of Christian Believers Fellowship, Dienya, Chilambo, Ambe, whatever the church is, Christian Believers Fellowship. So he married a girl from Christian Believers Fellowship, and that doesn't happen very often. The way they do marriage is very different, and I won't take time to go into that, but that has been one of the more difficult things for us in working through marriages. I'll just quickly say that they would pay dowry. They pay dowry by taking cows to the gate of the family of the girl. Often they can't afford it, so the families give their blessing in them living together. And then there's also the legal side of having a legal marriage. There's also the church side of having a marriage. So when we go to take in members, we have to figure out if they're married or not. And it becomes very difficult in knowing, do they see it as marriage? The living together part, are they married, are they not? Are they living with someone else after they were married? It becomes very difficult. And so this was a real blessing to have a brother getting married, and he is married now. I did hear while we were here, they had a miscarriage. It was the second one now. So that was sad to hear, but they are doing well as a couple. This is our living room, different angle here. Board members are visiting there. I don't know. Junior, you would know Delbert there. Delbert and Susan. and David and Susanna, I think, yeah. He just came off of the board, and a new Titus Wagler from Cross Hill took his place. This is the front of our house. We didn't take pictures to impress anyone, that's for sure. It should have been back a little bit or something, but anyway, this is the front of our house. This is another house in the compound. And these pictures are not very well organized. We just kind of dumped them in here. And so as we go through here, I'm just going to quickly run through. Time is fastly going. This is the children get together. They were having a meeting. This was the unit leader's wife. She's giving them a talk on the rules of the compound and how much they can be in each other's compound and on the lane and stuff. It becomes, compound life is interesting. We can get in each other's hair quickly, and it's been a blessing for us. The children enjoy it. They play out on the lane all the time. This is on the lane. I don't know what this event was, but we often just have, in the evening, we'll get out on the lane, sit there and talk, have social time. Just the children having a picnic. And the electricity goes off fairly regularly. You can't count on it being power all the time. Thankfully, our stove and oven are gas, so we don't have to worry about that, and we can still cook when the power goes out. But yeah, it's not a reliable thing. I'm trying to remember why we did this. There was something going on where we couldn't really leave. I don't know if it was rioting or what was happening this time. They set up a donut shop, and we had to go up there and make fools of ourselves to get donuts and stuff. It was, if you had a belly laugh, you get a donut. I don't know what all the different things was, but yeah, trying to itch up a laugh to get a donut. This is a volleyball on the lane. It's gravel. It's not ideal, but we do have a good time out there on the lane. This is our children. This is the corner of our compound out toward that hotel. Kind of a little swing and stuff set up there. We do have monkeys. These are not actually monkeys, but the monkeys do come through our compound every now and then. This is our son Judson with, I think it's a dove he got with his slingshot. And this is the boys sitting out by the street selling chickens. They have a little chicken business going on. They sell chickens out by the street. This is at our compound washing dishes from church. Fellowship meal or something. We brought them all back there. We wash them. This is a Chloe with a chameleon. Is that what that is? I think it's what that is. This is our church at Dienya, the front of it. And at every church, or I think at every church, most churches they have. So you get there, they will have water. Somewhere you need to wash your hands. They're very, I don't know, it's a little interesting. They wash their hands all the time before shaking hands, before doing things, eating, whatever. They come around, when you're sitting in their house, they come around with a bowl and a pitcher, they wash your hands. Sometimes I think they're cleaner than we are, but yeah, they do very well with that. This is a clothing sale we do yearly. We try to, a lot of the ladies from our churches do sewing. They make these dresses, then we have a clothing sale. The mission pays them to make these dresses, and then we're not making money on these clothes. We try to pass them on as cheap as we can. Just more clothing sale. And this here, I think it's at Dienya. And I was on the other side of this pack of people. This is typical Kenya. They don't get mad at each other, not usually, but there is absolutely no personal space. You cannot stand in line. If there is a slight gap here, obviously you're not in line, and this needs to be filled. So they will come up. If you're standing in a store and there's a small gap, they'll come right in there without even thinking about it. They just do it. And I had to work through that, and I mean, just get upset at somebody that just obviously butted in line, but I was standing back too far, so I left too much space. And so they just stack on top of each other, and then they all want to pay right away, and it was pretty chaotic. They kind of just come up there and dump everything there, and I was trying to make sense of it. But that's just Kenya. It's the same way when driving. Everyone, if there's a hole, you fill it. It doesn't matter which side of the road it's on, if the traffic is stopped. So what happens when traffic gets stopped? You have two lanes coming, a two-lane road. The one lane gets blocked. There's a truck broke down or something, and they will, if the truck breaks down, they'll pull the axle out, they'll pull the transmission out, whatever, right in the middle of the road. That's where they work on it. It'll be blocked. And so when it comes to, maybe it starts to pile up, everyone from this side feels all the lanes going this way. Everyone from this side feels all the lanes going this way. So we are all sitting there looking at each other like, where are we going now? And then we start going on the shoulders and around, just wherever you can, you just go. And that has been a test in patience many times for me. But they don't really get mad at each other. If it would happen in the States, people would be dying, I'm convinced. Be guns getting drawn and all kind of things, but they just do it. And that's the way things are. This is another CBF church. I think this is Oroba. This is a baptism. We did it at Gunja. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with what happened in March. Kendra Yoder passed away there. They were missionaries from Kentucky. They were living there. And she, I think, 40, 41. She suddenly passed away one morning, woke up. Husband woke up, heard her make a noise. He called me. I ran up there. She didn't have a pulse. We rushed her to the hospital. She was gone. This was Kyle's church, and that has been a lot to work through. Kyle was at Agunja, and when that happened, they all came home, the whole family. And Blake would have been Colton and Judson's age. He was a little older than Colton. The only boy their age, the whole family came home. I probably shouldn't have talked about it, but that was in March. We were kind of looking forward to this furlough for a while to give us a little break. It's going to be interesting going back, I'll just put it that way. Without them, there's another family leaving while we're gone as well. Especially for my boys, I ask that you pray for them. Yeah, there's nobody their age, and it's difficult. But something like this is very exciting. This makes the work so worth it, to have a young man that is wanting to join the church, wanting to serve God, and to be able to baptize him is very exciting work. There are times when it's hard, it's things going on that are very difficult, but those kind of times make it very worth it. This is just random pictures of shops, and these motorbikes are everywhere. This is a trinket shop that we go to sometimes there in Kisumu. It's actually a row of shops. And these people, I mean, they want to sell you something, and they almost kidnap you and drag you in their shop. And looking is free, you know. It's all, they try to put something in your hand, and if you're holding it, you need to buy it. Yeah, it gets very interesting. The children enjoy going there, but I don't enjoy it so much. This is in someone's home. We go to people's homes for Bible study, and we have it in the home. Often they have it in the home, which is a mud wall house with a metal roof. And the sun is beating down, and it is cooking in there. And they serve hot chai, which is tea. And you're just sweating like crazy, and they're drinking hot tea. And it's interesting way. It seems like sweet tea would be cold. Sweet tea would just hit the spot in those houses, but they break out the hot tea. This is noya, which is just a combination of corn and beans mixed up. This is outside of a home here that we had. This is after Bible study, I think. The women usually sit separate, even when they're eating and everything. They kind of serve the men. I don't know. I'm not sure how to say it in a nice way, but the men tend to be a little bit lazy when they work on the farm, but when it comes to serving and stuff, they just sit there and will ask the women to give them this or that or whatever. I get a little bit perturbed sometimes, but they're not, the women do the serving and everything. This is a kind of an unfinished house. I'm not even sure where that one is. But they usually finish these walls on the outside with a combination of cow dung and mud. Somehow that holds together better. And it's usually pretty smooth and it holds up well. This is the motorbike I use quite a bit with me and Glenda there. This is Ruth Ann and our baby Sienna, who's not so much a baby. Haley. Haley, yeah, sorry. That's Haley. She's not so small anymore. She was 2 months when we left. Three months. 3 months when we left, and yeah, she's 2 years now. This we see very often there in Kisumu. This is a what we call a glue sniffer. They have that bottle of glue, and they get high off of it. This is a lady from church and one of the pastor's wives. I think we had just dropped them off. And that's probably a very heavy sack of potatoes or something. Unbelievable how much weight they put on their head and on their neck. I would be stiff and sore for days. But they walk around like that looking, and yeah, it's I don't know how they do it. This is in Kisumu. One day going down the road, this is a motorbike with a wheelchair. They were moving along pretty good. The guy there is holding the wheelchair handles, and they're cruising right down the streets of Kisumu there. This is potatoes, I think. Not sure why that's there, but this is one of the ladies from church in her kitchen. This kitchen looks very well stocked. I think she kind of sells stuff out of her kitchen, so that's why it looks, they're not nearly all that stocked. This is, I think, chicken mixed with potatoes. And when I say chicken, most of the chicken is in there. The head, the feet, they include it all. I can't say for sure that that's all in that one, but usually they do. It'll be a chicken head looking at you when you get your plate sometimes, and I usually return it if possible. This is, they about all have little farms. They raise their own maize, their corn, and this is what they make their ugali with, which is ugali you have to have every meal. Every time you eat, you need to have ugali, which is ground up maize, basically field corn, and it's kind of grits, but it's not like grits either. It's a lump of, I don't know, tasteless corn. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me, but it seems very important to them. That's what makes them strong, I think. We were visiting here. He was giving me a clump of bananas. Bananas are everywhere there. This is what they cook over. They usually have three rocks, and this is how they operate. It needs to be those three rocks, and that's how we've done it for years and years, and so we all use three rocks. That's how we do it. Now, this is in that same lady's kitchen. She does have a burner there. This is what we get on Wednesdays. They go to the fruit market. We put order in, and it gets delivered to our house. This is driving down the road. Don't know where. On this picture, you can't see it very well, but right there is a pothole. And that is how it is driving down the road. That pothole there, it doesn't look very bad, but if you hit it right, it might take your tire off. You have to be very alert when driving over there, because there will just be big old holes in the road that pop up all of a sudden. This is ground nuts, peanuts, and here we're taking them off of at a lady's home there, helping her get her ground nuts off of the plants. This is just back in, we were visiting one day, or that van up there. We often take two vans when we go because there's our area is a little more widespread. We pick up people and go into to Bible study. These are actually very delicious. This is tilapia from the lake there, and this is how they prepare it. It's very good eating, but it is the whole fish. I mean, they gut it, but they know how to fix it. It's very good. I think there's a picture somewhere on here of an eyeball that somebody was holding, and I think Chloe was eating it or something. But anyway, we'll get to that maybe. This is just another home. Very typical home. There will be a dividing wall about halfway through this home. One side is living area, one side is bedroom. Big families. They'll pull out mats in the living area, whatever. That's their home. And there's a lot of traditions about how they build a home, sons and daughters, where they build homes. Cows everywhere. They don't have fence. They have shepherds, basically, that take care of the cows. They also tie them up. They don't use fence much. But they babysit their cows most of the time. This is a motorbike with a load of chairs delivering to the church there. They often rent chairs for big events. Oh, there's that eyeball. I think Chloe ate that. I'm not sure. I didn't ask her if she enjoyed it or not. But this is Mondazi. I'm sorry, I'm keeping you all very long. This is Mondazi. This is what we often have with our chai after. It's like a little doughy, almost like a donut, but it's not sweet like a donut. It's just basically a piece of bread. I don't know if you know Thomas Amata with Open Hands. He's come through the U.S. some doing presentations. This is at his home he was building. That day we just put a tarp over part of it where they were working and had lunch in there. This is just at a Bible study probably. No, this is actually a pastor's meeting. That's the pastors over there having a meeting. This was a load of children that I... So this man on this side... left side, is Samson. He's a member of our church, and he has a lot of medical issues, and I come from way out there and bring him into town to doctor visit, and these children all wanted to ride along, and so I brought them along. They don't get out to... Probably might have been the first time a lot of them were in the city. Here they are making mandazi. Here's children on the lane. I don't know, having a sack race or something. I'm not sure what she's doing there. I think cooking the chicken. Is that right? This is one of the pastor's children there, along with some of our children. Here she's cooking the ugali. It's just she stirs it and stirs it and stirs it. And makes a dried up lump to serve all of us. That's just a mud wall. This is on our compound there. That roof had plugged up. And then it was full of water, and the boys were up there swimming and carrying on. If you have any questions or anything, please feel free to interrupt me here. This is a fellowship meal at the church. This man right here is a pastor, hasn't been a pastor long. He's a pastor to Gunja, where Kyle was. And he has really stepped up as a leader there since Kyle is gone, and I'm blessed by that. He is working for the people, helping the people. This was Mother's Day, and Kendra, the one that passed, had given all of the mothers a rose to put on their dress. Our girls under a mango tree, having chai after Bible study. This is Judson going to town. I think Linda must have snuck a picture through the hedge. He's going to town to get milk or something, going to the grocery store on a motorbike. This is Randall and Melissa Wagler and their children. They had a baby that was stillborn and had a burial there at the church. This picture has a lot going on. So these men up here, they ride like that on these dump trucks. This is a sheep or goat or something. This car was packed full of critters, and I forget where we were going, but like out here through this area, you'll see zebras and giraffes and stuff. It's that's not really common in our area. There's a park close that we can go to see them, but this is out a little ways. That zebras and those things are just out there. Brooklyn was not feeling well. We have a pretty good hospital close. She was, I think, septic. Or her numbers are supposed to be 10 and under, and hers were 125, I think. It was pretty serious, like a blood infection or something. I'm not sure what it was, but praise the Lord, she's here today. This is at our church in Dienya. I think this was a visiting youth group that was singing at our church. The boys putting up this is Blake here on the left. This is Colton on the right, and Judson, our sons. They're putting a gate in the compound there. There's Judson sleeping on a pastor's shoulder at a Bible study. There's a gecko. Yeah, they are just everywhere around our house. This is what happens when you drive out through a protest or something. This is how you show support for whatever's going on. You stick shrubbery all over your vehicle, and so you're supporting them, or they do it for funerals and that type of thing too. And so this, I think probably they were just driving through, and as they were driving through, this stuff got stuck on there probably. This is at the hospital, I think. So that's someone's home. Well, there's a lot of things to talk about and not much. So this is Glenda. Well, I shouldn't blame it on Glenda. She let someone else try to turn the van around. It didn't work out so well. I think they got a bunch of people and rocked it and pushed it and were able to get it through there. This is a place in the rainforest that we go sometimes, this is missionaries, to relax for a day or something. Have our meeting there. Here's Haley eating Noel. Here's a tuk-tuk carrying some sheep. These trucks, they are very slow, and I think this is going up one of the hills. And they might be doing 10 miles an hour, and the next one's doing 11, so the one doing 11 has to try to go around, so all of us have to follow them for a long, long time. And that gets very old. This is at a church meeting where a bunch of school children showed up to the park there. We were having a minister's meeting there, and we were going to leave, and all these school children and people wanted to come take pictures. And you just become a celebrity without doing anything to be a celebrity. It's just you're white and they want to take a picture with you. Very random pictures. She's making dolls and little people out of mud there. This is firewood stacked up for a youth conference, the cooking. This is at the youth conference. I was teaching there. We do that once a year, youth conference. This is also at the Lamp and Light place where we have the conference, and this is the volleyball court, and they play barefoot, and these people also leave their remains there on the volleyball court, so it gets squishy sometimes. This is the closing program for the youth fellowship, the meetings, and they do some singing. Lots of chickens around. This van is our van that we use, and we pack it out. I think so. This front seat. I think we've had our whole family on this front seat. There is me and Glenda and six children, and they're not all small. But then altogether, I think we've had 30 people in that van, just stacked in there. It's a little bit. We had a missionary there that was from the Amish, so he kind of identified with these people. They don't want to walk, so if they can get a ride, they will, and they pack it in there. There's a better picture of the van. It's not big, but it is does get us where we need to go. This is a joint unit meeting. We have Nakutu, Kisumu. We have joint meetings quarterly. We all get together as missionaries. Discuss different issues. This is a burial, and there's a lot of things with these burials that traditions and things that a lot of fear there in Kenya. of the spiritual world and darkness, and it's real. But praise God, we can be free of that. There's a transport I did, body transport. They usually do the body transport on Friday and the burials on Saturday, and all night they're having their whatever up until the burial on Saturday. This is what I'm saying is in general. Now, it's not always true of our church members. These sound systems are tremendous. They believe in having music, and they believe in having it loud. And it is oppressive if you're sitting close to these things. They play their music wide open. And this is not a church burial, one of our churches. This is Emmanuel. He lives there in Kisumu, and he's starting a landscaping business there. And that's, instead of using a slasher, which is a machete, basically, he has this now to get his business going. Landscaping, I guess. This is another chai and mandazi. This is a roller skater holding on to a tanker and hoping there's no potholes that come out from underneath, I guess. I followed them for a while. I couldn't believe it. But, he was holding on, getting a ride. This is at the pavilion I was talking about. We are having a minister's meeting there. We have 17 churches, and a number of the churches have two ministers. And so it's a pretty good-sized group when we get together. This is a picture of all of us, missionaries, pastors, everyone. I think there's a few missing, but this is a butcher shop. If you want a piece of beef, you go down there and join the flies in acquiring a piece of meat. Their flies are abundant, and they're not concerned about them. They're just hang the meat out and go for it. This was just recently. This is Bishop Mike Hostetler from Marotta. They returned home just a few weeks ago, and this is the church that he was bishop of, and he is giving me bishop oversight there at that church, Umbe. This is public transport. These vans, both of these vans are public transport. They stop along the road just wherever there's people waiting. They pick up people and they jam them in there, and they also jam things on top. And when you come to a police check, they hand something out the window, something small, and police grab it and they keep going. But then when we come, they want to check everything, and they threaten, and yeah. They finally figured out that we're not going to pay them anything, and so they don't stop us very often. If they do, it's often just to chat a little bit or something. Mom is alive. I'm not sure what that means, but they'll be cruising with hanging out the sides and everything. Soccer game, football, it's a big thing there. This is a restroom, a cho, what they call cho, and there's the inside of it. And that's the accommodations. Here's Judson working at the compound, trimming hedge. So I think that's the end of the pictures. And I realize it's very late, and I'm sorry for that. I would have liked to share a little more of a message, but are there any questions? We'll take questions if you have. I don't know what to cover, really. There's a lot of things that I could talk about, but I'm not sure what to talk about. And yeah, time is gone. So if you're ready to go, don't ask questions, but I'm very open to questions. And if you ask questions and everybody else looks at you, it's your fault. I don't know if I gave a very clear picture of what we're doing there. I hope you understand a little bit what we're trying to do. AMA has a website that you can look up, Amish Mennonite Aid. They have a website, and Kenya is part of that mission. And so there's things there that can give you a bit of an update, and if you want to support the work, you can also do that there. Any questions? Yes. It is not hot. It is actually very mild all the time. The weather we've been having here recently is very similar to what it is there. It's not muggy. Come here and we're sweating a lot more than we are there. It's about year round. It's I'd say average of 75. We have a bit of a rainy season, dry season, they call it that, but it kind of rains all the way through. But there are times it really, really rains. They grow two crops in our area. They grow two crops every year of corn, maize. They can do that. There's no winter. If it would be winter there, so our house everywhere we go, it's just open. Our windows are never closed. There's a screen, but we don't have windows or not decent windows. It's just open. We don't have AC or anything, and I'd say we have fans, but it's comfortable most of the time. There are times it gets a little hot. The sun is more direct. I'd say it'll heat stuff up very much. And the house will get a little warm, and then it'll be a little warm going to bed, which is not what I enjoy. But the fan usually cools it off pretty good.
So when you get out of the city, is it more remote? Like, would they have access to water out in remote areas or not so much?
Not so much. I thought I had some pictures of some of these motorbikes. They have jerry cans, and they'll have them piled up. They haul water. Their children, a lot of times the children are carrying water. They go out to the creeks, ponds, whatever, filthy water that they go collect and drink, use for whatever they need to do in the house. We try not to drink the water out there. We have a filter system there on compound. And so collecting water is a big part of their life. When it gets dry, sometimes they have to go a long ways to get water and carry it around. And so it's precious to them. If you have to work for it that hard, it's pretty precious. I'm amazed at how, so our ladies will have, I don't know, they have all kind of colored dresses, but I was thinking like yellow or something or white that stains. They will take that white dress, and it might be dirty, but they'll take it and put it in orange water, basically, and get it clean. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what they're using, but yeah. And they do it by hand. You go past the river, they'll be out there doing their wash, and they'll be washed all over the bushes and stuff. So it's different for sure. And in the city, it's more modern. But as soon as you get out of the city, it changes to farms and little farms. Everyone has their little farm and houses everywhere. And there's just people everywhere. They're walking. You can be way out in the sticks, and there's people walking along the road. We came for the funeral. We brought the two youngest, and they weren't used to here. And we drove on a road there in Kentucky, and she said, "Mama, there's no people here. There's nobody walking. It's just not normal. There's always somebody walking." And it is very scary to drive at night. Because they're walking, and there's these tuk-tuks and picky-pickies that don't have lights sometimes, and yeah, it's very, very scary. We try not to drive at night more than we have to. Any other questions? Time fails me. I would love to describe some of the traditions and fears and the way God is working there more. It's very exciting to see the churches grow and be able to, since I'm there, we haven't started another church, but Lord willing, we will. We have an area there that we're hoping to move to when we have good, solid leadership where we're at now. And that's kind of our vision of what we're trying to do. I don't want to shut anybody off, but if you're not going to ask, I'm going to quit. Okay, well, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Pray for us over there in Kenya. And don't be discouraged here and think that you have to go to Kenya to be a missionary, to be working for the Lord. You can do it here. Your neighbor is just as important as my neighbor there in Kenya. It might look a little different. And sometimes I'm struck by the thing of it is easier for me to talk to a poor person than it is to a rich person. And I don't know, and I've struggled with that. Why is that? Because I don't want to be embarrassed? Or what is it? And so, yeah, I challenge you with that. What makes it harder to talk to a rich person? To people here in the U.S. especially. I mean, it's just true for me. Maybe you don't struggle with that. But somehow it just gives me a different feeling. Over there, I can just freely talk about it, and I'm not ashamed. Why do I come home and I'm very timid? And I trust you're not like that. I hear you. You're working in the community. You're helping people. God bless you for that. Continue on in that. That is God's work. And God bless you for doing that. I'll turn the time back to.